It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm on criminal justice issues and his legacy as he announces not to seek re-election after 17 years leading the DA's office. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. John Chisholm was first elected in 2006. First position in the office was as an assistant DA in 1994. Milwaukee County DA John Chisholm, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Nice to be with you.
Good morning. Why this moment? Why retire now?
You know, this is a moment where I have a strong feeling that some of the challenges that we faced in the last 3 years are starting to level out, and there's a equilibrium coming back to the system. There's an enormous amount of work to be done to build upon some of the processes that we believe will keep our community safe and still respect people's civil liberties and hopefully just create a healthier community. But all of those things have been tremendously challenged for the last 3-4 years with the public health crisis and other issues. And I just have a strong feeling that we're starting to stabilize, and this is a good time for me to move aside at the end of the year, and provides lots of time for people to select the next Milwaukee County District Attorney. And again, I just think at the end of the day, one of the things that should be modeled is that you serve your community and then you voluntarily step aside when you think it's the right time to do that.
So you say challenges are leveling out. Are there still any type of backlogs in your system? Are there still tension stress points that you're trying to deal with as an office?
No question about it. One of the successful things that we've been able to do using federal relief ARPA dollars is to actually increase our staff by about 14-15 assistant DAs, and that has helped tremendously to ease the backlog burden and get things back to a more normal state. Now that funding is going to expire at the end of the year. So again, it's our hope that what we see is that the case numbers return to roughly 2019 levels, and that we also see a corresponding reduction in the violent crime in the community. And again, last year is a good example of that. So at the worst moment of sort of the public safety, public health crisis, we had almost 215 homicides in the city of Milwaukee. You know, last year that dropped significantly down to about 170, still way too many. And I would like to get us to pre-pandemic levels. And I'm hopeful that we're going to get to that place again here in this coming year.
What key things are needed in order to get to pre-pandemic levels and reduce the gun violence?
Great question. And what it really comes down to, in my experience, in my opinion, is that we have to continue our efforts to work very closely with the community and identify the problems early on. It's the classic public health model. You identify the problems early, you try to prevent them, you intervene intelligently when you see the problem emerging, and you rely on suppression as sort of a last resort. And through our community partnership, community prosecution model, we've been able to do that very successfully. We have a successful early intervention program for those suffering from mental illness, drug addiction, people who have been exposed to significant trauma. The work we've done with the family violence approach, just radically changing our approach to dealing with victims of family violence through the Sojourner Family Peace Collaboration. All of these things are things that we can build upon. Ultimately, I'm convinced that the resources have to be pushed down to the community level, though. That's where the most successful interventions, all the studies, all the people that I've worked with throughout my career in the academic world will tell you that the most successful interventions is when you have the resources right down at the neighborhood, right at the community level, that they can apply to preventing these things from happening and successfully intervening and using the right dosage to treat the problem. We got to get our schools back up and running across the board, and we just have to have a close collaboration between our business, our faith community, and everybody focused on primarily on our young people in our community who are most at risk.
That requires a flow of funding, a flow of revenue, and there is a boost in the money that the state returns to local governments, known as shared revenue. Milwaukee seeing that boost in funding. You know, how will this additional revenue affect your office and what you see in the community?
Tremendous, and it goes right to your original question, and that is, why now? One of the reasons I'm moving on is that for the first time it'll be 18 years at the end of my term. This has been the most promising circumstance with respect to funding. The assistant DAs finally, after a very, very long time and really just a disastrous statewide policy on not funding prosecutors and public defenders, they've just started adequately addressing that issue this year. So hopefully I can still attract and retain these magnificent young attorneys that want to do public service in the right way. And the same is true for public defenders. So, and then the flexibility that's been given the county and the city to address public safety and other issues through increased revenue flexibility, that's just all hopeful. It's kind of a unique opportunity for us to start addressing some of these historical issues. And I'm not unaware of the fact that when these negotiations were taking place, there was a reflexive sort of a knee-jerk reaction from the conservatives to oftentimes take shots at the Milwaukee County DA's office for what I would consider completely inaccurate reasons, but it didn't matter. It's politics, and another opportunity for this community to move forward is to build upon the successes we have, but just take away this constant anti-Milwaukee, Milwaukee versus the state of Wisconsin mantra that you hear. And I think it's an opportunity to do that.
John Chisholm is district attorney of Milwaukee County, plans to not seek a fifth term as DA. Call in with a question, share thoughts along the way, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. After three decades prosecuting cases in the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office, the top prosecutor, John Chisholm, plans to step aside at the end of his term as DA. And we discuss criminal justice issues, his legacy. You can be part of the conversation. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Andrew in Milwaukee is here. Andrew, hi, go ahead.
Hi there. Good morning. So I was wondering if you had a magic wand and could change one issue facing Milwaukee County, what would it be and why?
Yeah, great question, Andrew. The magic wand is really to address kids that are just being raised in completely abusive, traumatizing, and neglectful circumstances. That's the root problem of the criminal justice system, and that is that we just routinely are asked to address problems that are really ultimately beyond the capacity of the criminal justice system when it comes to people that are suffering from mental illness, from trauma, from drug addiction, all of the things that can happen in circumstances where people are exposed over and over for both historical and immediate reasons to circumstances that are extremely constraining. And so that'd be the magic wand, is put the resources into early interventions for kids, make sure that our school systems are functioning the way they're supposed to function, and creating economic opportunities for people. At the end of the day, the criminal justice system will always have to respond to violent offenders. That's true no matter where you go in the country. But that really, in an ideal world, that would be all we do, is we address people that are actually hurting other people and effectively address those issues as opposed to trying to deal with all of the other problems that simply get funneled into the criminal justice system because there is no other safety net.
Well, let's talk a bit about when you decide to prosecute, because last year an analysis by the Wisconsin Policy Forum found that Milwaukee prosecutors are pursuing criminal charges less often in response to cases submitted by police. Charge rate is down for felony and misdemeanor referrals since 2019. Why are prosecutors filing charges less often?
So there's a host of reasons for it, but at the heart of it is that there's simply as part of the overall reduction in resources, there's been a dramatic reduction in the number of law enforcement officers actually working on the streets every day. So the City of Milwaukee Police Department is a good example. They've dropped almost 400 police officers from the time I first took elected office. And so the quality of your investigation is going to be directly tied to how much time you can invest in it. And if you are absolutely overwhelmed, as they have been, with really serious violent crimes, you just don't have the time to focus on some of the very important but less aggravated cases. And that's what I think you've seen over time is you know, our obligation at the end of the day is simply to charge cases that we can actually prove with evidence that meets the standard of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And we've always stuck to that. We don't back away from that. That's our ethical obligation. And so I think that plays a close role in it. So, again, it goes back to the issue of with more revenue flexibility comes the ability potentially to increase a focus on public safety. And that can be done in a number of ways. That doesn't mean it translates immediately into more cops on the street, but there are other things that people can do through violence intervention programs and others that collaborate closely with us and with the police that can help take some of that load off and let us then focus just on the serious cases.
I wonder, as you do focus on the serious cases, are prosecutors like yourself transparent enough about what factors would lead you to which charging decision or when not to prosecute at all? Is there enough transparency in the system?
Well, I have been kind of at the forefront of this issue, kind of in the country, as a matter of fact. If you look into my background, one of my first commitments was to invite an outside organization, it was the Vera Institute of Justice, to do a top-to-bottom, inside-out review of our office and its charging decisions, and to be very public about it. And the focus at the time was on racial disparities, but we've maintained that focus. We still have a public-facing website that allows people to look at our things. All the information that you mentioned in the Wisconsin policy report, we gave them because that's what we do. We track this information and we give it to them. We analyze it ourselves. And so, yeah, the transparency, accountability, it's really important that not just the Milwaukee DA's office, but I would argue every prosecutor's office in the country ought to be doing the same thing.
Talking with Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. Call in with questions and comments, 800-642-1234. A former president of the Wisconsin Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers has called our state's probation revocation system disastrous. Do you support the way this, you know, probation revocation, a person sent to jail for violating community supervision, and how it works in Wisconsin?
Yeah, another great question. And it just reflects on the fact that an effective justice system requires all parts of it to function collaboratively and effectively together. And I think the correctional system is experiencing the exact same constraints that law enforcement is facing up front that you're seeing with correctional officers in the prison system also. In other words, you've had to essentially do lockdowns because you don't have enough prison guards right now. The same is true with probation parole. If you have enormous caseloads and not enough people to supervise then oftentimes people just default. You see it in the classrooms. You see it everywhere. People oftentimes just default to taking the safest course of action, at least on what it appears, and just moving towards revocation because you don't have the resources for intervention. That needs to change along with everything else. Again, in the ideal system, you do your time, you become reintegrated with the community, and you move on, you get to take care of your family, and you actually contribute to the community. For those individuals that commit offenses that aren't amenable to that, you know, serious violence offenses, they're probably not going to be coming back to the community for a long time. And that's certainly what we see with our sexually violent offenders, with the homicides, with the non-fatal shooters, the serious armed robbery cases. Those individuals are not coming back to the community for a really long time. And that's just the nature of our job.
In our final seconds together, what piece of advice would you give your successor?
Well, I have a very strong preference there, and that is that one of my obligations, it's just like when I was in the military, you always planned for the day that you weren't going to be there. And I believe I have an extraordinarily strong executive team. And the advice is the same reason that I stepped up to run, and to maintain the culture, retain the culture of integrity within the office. Do the right thing. Despite all the difficult things that you're going to be confronted with, you ultimately just have to make a principled and thoughtful and ethical decision on what you do with every case that comes before you. And if you do that, the rest of it works out.
DA John Chisholm, thank you for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
John Chisholm is Milwaukee County District Attorney, first elected in 2006. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.